I'd like to call the meeting of the House Education Committee of the 34th Legislature to order. It is 8:13 a.m. Wednesday, February 26th in the Betty Davis Room, 106 in the Capitol. Members present are Rep. Eichheit, Rep. Underwood, Rep. Elam, Co-Chair Rep. Himshute, and myself, Rep. Story, Co-Chair. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take the time to silence your cell phones for the meeting. Thank you, everyone. And again, I'd like to thank Cale Brown, the House Education Secretary from Records, and Zach Lawhorn from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today, and our co-chair committee aides, Claire Fordyce and Tammy Smith. Thank you for your patience this morning. We have had some technical problems getting our speakers on, so we are beginning a little bit late. I would also like the record to reflect that we are joined by Representative Costello. Good to see you. And today, we will be hearing a presentation on Alaska's per-pupil spending in context from Dr. Dana DeFeo, Director for the Alaska Education Research, and Dr. Matthew Berman, Professor of Economics, Institute of Social and Economic Research at the University of Alaska, Anchorage. Members have been provided the presentation, and it is available to the public on basis. We were hoping to have our presenters on Teams, but that is not working correctly this morning, so they are both online. And so when it is your turn to speak, Dr. DeFeo and Dr. Berman, please identify yourself for the record, and we are happy to have you begin your presentation now. And I did want to add that they have said we could ask questions throughout the presentation, so I will try and watch for that, committee members. And again, we will have questions at the end, too. So thank you very much for being here today, Dr. DeFeo and Dr. Berman, and please unmute yourself and begin your presentation. And we do have Claire Fordyce, who will be going through the slides here for you as you move through them. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. This is Dana DeFeo. I'm director of the Alaska Center for Education Policy Research at the University of Alaska Anchorage, and I believe that Dr. Berman will be joining us via phone soon if he's not here already. Dr. Berman, are you here for an introduction? Oh, I know he's joining soon.
I'm joining. Okay. This is Matthew Berman. I'm here. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you, Professor Berman.
I know we're starting a little late. Can I clarify how long you would like this presentation to go, if you would like us to condense it so as not to interrupt your schedule?
This meeting is scheduled to go till 9 a.m., so we have about 45 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. I think we didn't plan to speak that long, so that should give plenty of time for questions, and we should be able to do the full presentation. So we'll go ahead and get started. Again, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We are faculty members at the Institute of Social and Economic Research, but this is our work here that we're presenting today. We were asked to give an update of a report that we first wrote in 2019. We updated it in 2022. And over the past couple of years, we've shared that study pretty widely here at the legislature. We've given presentations to different committees for staffers and whatnot. So this might be familiar to you, but we do have some updated numbers. And some new context that are just new in the last week that we've been able to update them. So we're very grateful for the opportunity to share today. The next slide gives you an overview of the structure of today's presentation. We've organized our data around five key questions. We hope to do our best to answer those for you in sequence. Then we're going to look at some of the context for our calculations and maybe some areas of opportunity. So slide three shows our key findings. As researchers, we are always trained to present the evidence and then the findings as conclusions. Kind of out of character for us to share the findings first, but we've been working with science communicators. They told us to start with the punchline, so that's what we've got here. The big findings of our analysis are that after we adjust for Alaska's geographic costs, our per pupil spending is 15% below the national average. And that has fallen consistently since Dr. Berman and I have started doing this work in 2017. Also since 2017, when we first started doing this work, the proportion of Alaska's per pupil spending that's coming from federal and local sources has increased proportionally, while state support has decreased proportionally. And third, we're finding that Alaska's education investments or its spending is not keeping up with inflation. So in the next couple of slides, we'll show the data and the substance that make up those findings. So slide four just presents question number one. This was our first question. As an education policy researcher, I'm sure Dr. Berman, as an economist who does education research, we hear often that Alaska has high per pupil spending and low education outcomes, and that's what we're going to dig into a little bit, is the spending side of that. So since we're using national data, these get reported on kind of a lag. So today what we're reporting are numbers that reflect the 21-22 academic year. So when you see 22, that's 21-22 academic year. And when we can, we're going to share data from 22-23. There are some preliminary data that have been reported. Alaska has reported, but it hasn't been reported for all states. So we'll toggle between those years and be clear about which year we're reporting. The next slide just shows the raw dollars. These data come from the U.S. Census Bureau annual survey of school system finances. In Alaska, I'm sorry, we need to go back just one slide, please. There we go. In Alaska, ALAZMO has really excellent numbers, and we'd suggest using those for any state-level work. But when we compare our numbers to national numbers, we use the census from the Census Bureau data because they collect their data uniformly across states. That's why we use these numbers when we're making these comparisons. So in 2022, the average per pupil spending in the nation was $15,633, and in Alaska, it was $20,191. So that number is higher than the national average by 29%. I should have those on two different bullets in this slide. Sorry, we're still on slide five, or at least I'm still on slide five. It has the nation and Alaska. Thank you. I just wanted to show some things in the bullets here. Alaska is the eighth highest in the nation in 2022. 29% higher than the national average. But when we first did this work using 2017 data, we were 46% higher than the national average. And the reason that Alaska keeps getting closer to the national average, even though we keep spending more dollars, is because other states are investing more in education than we have. So the 2023 data are not all in yet, but since we checked last weekend, two states have moved ahead of us. So we're probably about the 10th highest spending in the nation, and that's in raw dollars for education spending. So now moving to that slide with the yellow bars, you have a slightly different slide deck because we're sort of walking you through our analysis piece by piece, but we didn't want to put out slides that were sort of half of our analysis. So the slide here shows you should have one that has yellow bars, red bars, and blue bars. We're just going to walk you through how we got the yellow bars, how we got the red bars, how we got the blue bars, one at a time. But this chart is giving you, the one that's on the screen now, a visual of the numbers I just talked about. The national average here is that thick black line down the middle. The yellow bar shows the numbers I had on the previous slide, but it's putting them in relation to that national average. Like I said, we're getting closer to the national average in our spending every year because other states are spending more than we are, or they're investing more at a higher rate. But we know that all things in Alaska cost different amounts. You know, we go to different Alaska communities. So to make a fair comparison and to compare the buying power of those dollars, we need to account for the higher cost of living throughout the state, and for that, we've got two sets of adjustments that we need to put on these numbers. We'll talk about that in those next couple of slides, and that's how we're going to grow this chart with all of the data. So the next slide has the school foundation formula's district cost factors. We might call these geographic cost differentials. The formula has these differentials always relative to Anchorage, which is how we do our analysis, too. So as you can see, I like this slide because it shows you all of those like teal-colored school districts, and the cost differential there is at least 1.5 times Anchorage. I find this figure really helpful because it shows not only how significant the costs are in delivering education in some communities, but also just how many communities we're talking about in our state. And we also know this to be true just as, you know, we travel through the state. You know, a gallon of milk costs a certain amount in Anchorage. We pay more for it when we go to Bethel. We pay more for it when we go to Queeslook. So we're familiar with these district cost factors, but how do those factor into education spending? The next slide on my slide looks a little
different.
Dr. DeFeo?
Excuse me, Dr. DeFeo. We have a couple of questions here. I'm going to start with Co-Chair Rebecca Rep Hemshoot, and then we have one from Rep Eichheit.
Hi, Dr. DeFeo. Thank you for taking my question. I'm on the slide that's on the screen right now with the teal and the navy and all of that. Do you know, so this is broken down by school district. Do you know how many schools we're talking about in each category?
Through the chair, we definitely do. I can't give you an accurate number off the top of my head, but that's something I could definitely follow up on. Dr. Berman, I don't know if you have numbers in front of you or if you wanted to provide more context.
Dr. Berman?
Through the chair, co-chair, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I can easily look them up, as Dr. DeFeo says.
Thank you.
Rep. Eichheit.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, Dr. DeFeo, I'm looking at the foundation formula district cost factors, so that map of Alaska, and my understanding is the base is Anchorage. So other districts get a higher cost formula factor, but the question I have is what data was used to generate this foundation factor, and when was that data collected? I guess I'm asking, is this, these costs, have they been recently calculated? And the reason I ask that is I work for the Mat-Su Borough, rapidly growing. Oftentimes my friends in the Mat-Su will say people are moving to the Mat-Su from Anchorage because it's cheaper. And so I'm just kind of wondering what data is used to generate this and when it was collected, this foundation formula cost factor.
So through the chair, I can provide a quick answer. Dr. Berman might wish to jump in or add more. These are the ones that are used in the school foundation formula. They were calculated by ICER published in 2025. To my knowledge, they used data that were collected in 2024. These have not been updated since that time. In 2015, my first study with ICER, so these were 10 years before I even came to work at ICER. Dr. Berman and I worked on a study that used very similar data for the development of a statewide teacher salary schedule. And at that time, we had updated most of the numbers that would go into this, but didn't provide new cost differentials. Those data can sort of shed some light on how things have changed in 10 years since these were developed. But if we were to update these now, we would need to start from scratch because we're such a different context than we were in 2015 and certainly than 2005. So we know these are old, but they are the ones that are currently in the foundation formula.
Through the chair, Dr. Sale, I might clarify. I believe.
Yes, please identify yourself. Dr. Berman, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your answer.
This is Matthew Berman, Professor of Economics for Student Social and Economic Research. And I would just, since I was one of the researchers at ICER who took part in calculating those numbers, I believe you said, Dr. DeFeo said 2025 and 2024, and I meant to say 2005 with 2004 data. So it is true that those numbers are not up to date and probably could be updated, and the results might be somewhat different, but I doubt that the rural Alaska communities that have that much higher cost differential, I doubt if that cost differential will have gone down. It may have even increased because, as we know, the cost of fuel and electricity that's generated from diesel fuel has gone way up since 2005, and that might even make those numbers increase. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions at this time? Seeing none, please proceed with your presentation.
Thank you. And through the chair, apologies. I meant to say 2005 and 2004. Thank you, Dr. Berman, for catching that. So where we had left it with these cost factors, when we apply them to the analysis with the understanding that they are 20 years old when we did these calculations, we do a statewide adjustment to that $20,191. It's the red box on this slide here in front of you. So what we did is we adjusted the spending in the state relative to Anchorage, sort of just like those cost factors do. We took the Anchorage adjusted per pupil spending numbers to get those. We used the school foundation formulas, geographic cost differential that you saw in the slide before. We weighted that by the district average daily membership to level the costs within Alaska. That was our first set of adjustments. It's here on the slide. And in the next slide, you can see what that looks like on our graph. So after we did these adjustments way back in 2017, we were 22% higher than the national average. But when we do this in 2022, we apply these same adjustments, our spending is only 7% higher than the national average. But we're not done yet because Anchorage also has higher prices than the rest of the nation. So in our final adjustment, the next slide talks about that. We applied the most widely used cost of living index to our statewide adjustment. The one we used is the one that's published by the Council for Community and Economic Research. And when we do that, we find that Anchorage spending dips below the national average by 15 percentage points. And this slide here shows what we did in dollars. The next slide is going to put it on our graph, showing how we measure up when we compare those dollars to the national average. And when we take into account the higher cost of living in Anchorage, we can see that, you know, our spending has been below the national average since Dr. Berman and I first did these calculations with 2017 data. And that blue bar is just moving further and further to the left. So when we step back, when we look at this chart, when we're looking at the yellow and the red and the blue bars, we can see the trend in all of the bars is that we are investing less relative to other states. We're doing that before we apply any adjustments. But when we do apply adjustments, those differences are magnified when we think about the true cost of delivering education in the state. So that was what we had prepared for the first question. It looks like there might be a question from the school.
Yes, Rep. Elam.
Thank you. I appreciate the presentation with the information and the updated data. I'm just curious in your statistics here and your numbers, does this include the costs of student travel whenever they go to events or athletic sports? So, like, let's say a hockey team from, you know, out in rural areas is flying to another hockey team, you know, in Southeast, for example. That's quite, you know, quite the expense. You know, I mean, is that factored in here for, like, the cost of those additional services, I suppose, the extracurricular or sports and athletics?
Through the chair, the costs of travel are calculated in a different way that Dr. Berman, would you like to talk about?
Yes, through the chair, if the answer to the question, if the school district is spending the money, it goes through the school district, that it is included.
Okay. Thank you.
If it's spent by parents or some private fundraising, it won't be. But typically, when a student travels, that's being paid by the school district. It's included. And Dr. DeFeo is correct that the foundation formula is the largest, that you're familiar with, is the largest source of state funding for schools. But there is also the student transportation budget too, and that's also paid by the state, 100% by the state, and that's part of these numbers. It's included in these numbers, but it's And so it's not just the foundation program, and it's not just instruction, but it's all spending by the school district for the students.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. This is Dana DeFeo. So we're able to move to question two. Just looking at 2023 spending, so I've presented 22 data, but there are some preliminary numbers for 23. As of last weekend, when Dr. Berman and I checked, 41 states, including Alaska, have reported their numbers, so we'll share what we've got, knowing that we can't yet calculate a national average until we've got data from everybody. But the next two slides will show where Alaska kind of stacks up in 23. I apologize for this slide. If you have the printed report, page 3 has it on a full page. It'll be much easier to read. And I will zoom in on Alaska in the next slide. You can see Alaska here is 8. So what we've got on this slide on the left-hand side is the states are in rank order of highest to lowest spending in 2022. Those are the blue bars. And then the red bars show 23 data for the states that reported it. So to look at it, we can see that for every state, the red bars are longer than the blue bars, meaning those states spent more in 23 than they did the year before. That's kind of universally true. Alaska spent more. Alaska's red bar is longer than its blue bar, too. But when we zoom in, you can see this is just the top part of the chart from the previous slide. You can see Alaska a little bit better. We see that the top spenders, New York and D.C., they hadn't reported yet. So, again, that makes it hard for us to calculate a national average. But when I look at this chart, you know, we see the red bars are always longer than the blue bars, but some red bars are much longer than those blue bars. Alaska's are pretty close in length between 22 and 23. That means that our spending didn't increase a whole lot in that year. And we can also see that while Alaska is in eighth place because they're ranked for the 2022 numbers, Rhode Island and Delaware have longer red bars. They spent more in 2023 than Alaska did. So those states have moved ahead of us. And so that's where we get our current ranking that will be probably at about 10th place per pupil before any adjustments when these numbers are finalized for 23.
We have another question, Dr. DeFeo. Rep. Elam.
Thank you. This is a very interesting graph. I'm just curious, do you happen to know where New York, Washington, D.C., New Jersey, Vermont, where those states rank as far as their education outcomes?
Through the chair, off the top of my head, I do not. And I would my follow-up question through the chair would be what education outcomes would you want us to look into?
I might need some assistance on the name of the
Rep. Elam. Do you mean the National Assessment of Academic Progress?
Yes, that one. Yeah. What she said.
Now the NAEP. Okay. I believe that's. Go ahead, Dr. DeFeo.
So, through the chair, we could certainly look at test scores, high school graduation, all kinds of education outcomes. I think that's a tricky point, and I think that's what Dr. Berman and I do want to make clear is that we're just looking at the education dollars going in. Our presentation isn't able to make a connection between spending and outcomes directly. That would be a different kind of research study. If we were to include and report those, which, you know, we could certainly look up, it shouldn't be mistaken as any kind of a causal relationship. It would just be, you know, more data about all those states.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. DeFeo.
Through the chair, Dr. DeFeo, this is Dr. Berman. I believe the question, I'm guessing, I mean, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm guessing that the motivation for the question was that do these states that spend more than Alaska, in some cases quite a bit more, for students, do they get better outcomes with their spending? And I just want to make sure people understand that we were comparing Alaska to the national average, and adjusting for different costs in Alaska relative to the national average, we can't, we're not trying to adjust Alaska's costs relative to each state. And as you know, the different states and different localities have different, for costs from the national average too. And one thing in particular, we know that Washington, D.C. is a very expensive place. And in fact, it's one of the few communities in that C2ER list of study areas there that has more expensive costs than Anchorage. Its cost differential is higher than Anchorage. It's from the national average. So just to keep that in mind. And New York is also, New York City is also more expensive than Anchorage. And that's a good half of the students in New York State. So we need to keep in mind that we can't compare Alaska to any, Alaska's cost to any particular state and have it necessarily be adjusted for the difference in costs that we have for a lot, relative to the national average. Sorry if that was a little bit into the weeds, but I think it's important to keep in mind that when we compare outcomes, we need to be also comparing apples to apples, and that's extending out for outcome is not possible to be without adjusting every state, which we have not tried to do.
Thank you for that, Dr. Berman. We have another question from Rep. Elam.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, we do have some significant differences when we start talking about logistics and where people are out in communities. One of the other things that I always find interesting is when we look at the private sector industries related to some of the communities as well that we have for sources of funding and what that looks like across the state of Alaska as well. But that's a different conversation. So thank you.
Yes, thank you for that. And I appreciate Dr. Berman, that you reminded us that the cost of living is higher in New York and District Columbia than it is here in Anchorage, and we have to take those factors into account too. And I see a question from Rep. Hemchut.
Thank you, Chair Story. I'm not really going to ask a question. I just want to add some context. We also, there are so many variables at play here. We have to think about also kind of forgot what I was going to say. Let me see if I can get it back. But two things. One is the number of charter schools. So District of Columbia has at least half of their schools are charter schools. That's not something we're even talking about in this presentation. And the other thing is a county-level system of government, which obviously wouldn't be in D.C., but pretty much every state besides us has a county input into their schools. So it's hard to compare Alaska, but just understanding in dollars what this presentation is telling us, you know, there's more context to it, but it's still, I think, helpful information. So I'm grateful for the presentation.
Thank you for those comments. Please proceed with your presentation.
Okay, thank you. For the record, this is Dana DeFeo again. We're ready, I think, ready to move to question three, which is where school funding comes from. We're just going to talk about some of the funding streams that make up Alaska's per pupil spending here. I know at the legislature we talk a lot about state funding, but we talk a lot about the base student allocation, but state funding makes up part of what we spend on education. So these pie charts here, because we're just talking about Alaska and we don't need to look at a national average anymore, we can use the most up-to-date data. So now we're looking at 2023. So on the right side, you can see 2023 numbers. We see that 55% of Alaska's per pupil spending came from the state, from general funds. 22% came from federal streams, 23% came from local contributions. But if we look at the pie chart on the left-hand side, this is from 2017 when Dr. Berman and I first started doing these analyses. 64% of per pupil spending at that time came from the state. So what does that mean? I think it's important to keep in mind that the 2023 figures, it still has some residual funds from the increased federal investments that we got during the COVID pandemic. Those should be all spent by now. So when the 2024 numbers come in, we will expect that federal proportion to go down. But with those dollars phasing out, those federal COVID relief dollars, the state is going to face some pressure to make up the difference. So in the next question, we kind of wanted to look at where the money goes. A lot of these questions are driven by the data that we had available with the Survey of Finances, the Census Bureau. Where do our dollars go? What do we spend them on? How does that compare to other states? Since we're going to look at the national average again, we're going back to 22 numbers because we want to look at national average. In this slide here, got two pie charts again. U.S. average on the left, Alaska on the right, showing how districts allocate spending across expense categories. So as the blue piece of this part shows you, salaries and wages are the highest proportion of Alaska's current spending. That's also true for other states. Alaska is spending about 46% of its current spending on wages. That's lower than the national average at 54%. When we're talking about salaries and wages, this is all people who work in the school districts, but instructional salaries for the teachers and the in-class supports, those are the lion's share of those dollars. Relative to other states, we spend proportionately more on employees, or less on employee salaries, but more on employee benefits. We also spend more on maintenance. So in the next couple of slides, we can provide a little bit of context for that. Are there any questions on the pie charts before we move forward?
I don't see any. Thank you for checking. Please proceed, Dr. DeFeo.
Okay. So on this slide that's up here, salaries and wages, it's blue. We're talking about that blue pie piece. This comes from some work that Dr. Berman and I did earlier this year, or I guess not, actually it was last year, 2024. Salaries comprise a smaller portion of our per-pupil spending than other states, but when we looked at salaries adjusted to Anchorage and then to the U.S. average, the same analysis we talked through with those lines, that histogram in the beginning of this presentation, we did that exact same thing comparing teacher salaries, and in 2022, in raw dollars, our salaries were about 11% higher than the national average without adjustments. As you saw from our adjustments in the previous slide, Alaska's cost of living are a lot higher than the national average. So when we looked at teacher salaries compared to national averages, we were about 25% below the national average. So teacher salaries, which make up a smaller proportion of our per pupil spending than other states, have a bigger disparity per pupil than bigger disparity than per pupil spending when we're making that comparison. I think I saw a hand raised.
Yes, Rep. Elam.
Thank you. Thank you. And this is great information. I love seeing all the data and everything. I just, whenever we look at the salaries, I'm wondering if there's a comparison in there or if it's including adjustments based off of where the, where the teacher salary schedule is, if it's focused on a 10-year schedule versus, say, like a 20-year schedule where, you know, if they're on a shorter schedule, they get higher, more competitive wages generally those first few years versus capping out more towards the latter part of their career. Is that being considered inside of this?
Through the chair, yes, what we have here is the average teacher salary in the state, and we're making that comparison. When Dr. Berman and I did work on a teacher salary schedule about 10 years ago, we do have a wide variety of schedules in the state, and so there's the step and lane schedule is how those tend to be organized by how many years of experience you have and how much education you have. And you tend to move diagonally through the salary schedule as you gain more experience and as you gain more, more training, more education. There's wide variation in those throughout the state. Sometimes you can start relatively low but move quickly to higher, and vice versa. Those are structured pretty differently, and we've done some analyses that look at those. This is just looking at the straight-up average teacher earnings in Alaska and the average teacher earnings nationally. And I don't know if Dr. Berman wants to add to that with anything at all.
Dr. Berman?
Through the chair, thank you, Dr. DeFeo. I just comment that these the numbers for the teacher salaries, these are average numbers that we actually use the same data. It's a federal survey from U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics about on average salaries in various professions, and those numbers were the same numbers that were in the Alaska Department of Labor report and about teacher salaries that started that conversation that was there a year or two ago.
Okay, thank you. Just a follow-up question.
Yes, and then I just wanted to draw our attention to the time. We have about 11 minutes left.
Okay. I'm sorry. I will forgo my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Please proceed with your presentation.
Thank you. This is Dr. DeFeo again. I will go a little bit quickly so as to allow more time for questions. The next slide looks at employee benefits. We said that we spend proportionally more on employee benefits in our education spending than other states. To be clear here, I just want to say I'm not saying that Alaska's benefits are better or more than other states. I'm saying that we pay more for them. A big chunk of our benefit package is healthcare costs. Alaska has high healthcare costs, highest per capita in the nation. That's not unique to education. It is not a good thing for all sectors of our economy. But what happens is that in a fixed budget scenario, which is what we have here, when we have these really high healthcare costs and we have to provide healthcare, those costs put downward pressure on wages that makes it harder for districts to offer a nationally competitive salary for teachers. And the next slide looks at that third part of the pie piece, operations and maintenance. We do spend a higher proportion of our per pupil dollars on operations and maintenance. A lot of that can be attributed to our higher energy costs that are required to operate our schools. Rural schools in particular have really have much higher costs for fuel. They're not eligible for power cost equalization programs, which makes electricity more affordable for rural households. And there's two components to energy. There's how much it costs and how much you need. And in colder communities, schools need to need more fuel to heat them. They need more electricity to operate them. And you need that no matter how many kids are in the building. So I will just make a quick note, I know we don't have a ton of time, is that our whole presentation has been about current per pupil revenues and spending, and our pie charts a couple slides ago show where these dollars come from, they show where the dollars go, but it's important to note that schools also do benefit from additional spending on capital outlays and bond debt reimbursements, so those dollars are mostly applied to building new facilities and to renovating or repairing old ones, so in recent years, we've spent less on facilities than the national average, despite having higher building costs when we take those counts into consideration, or those dollars. So our final question, and I know I'm going quickly, I'm just being mindful of time, but please interrupt me if you would like. This is a presentation for you all, is inflation and how that factors into education spending. We all know what inflation is, the price increase in the price of goods and services over time. Up to this point in the presentation, we've been comparing to the national average using percentage, so we didn't adjust any of our dollars for inflation. But we are going to look at inflation specifically in this part of the presentation. We've been looking at trends between 2017 and 2022. In that time, the consumer price index increased by 18.6%. So in the next slide, there's a table. It'll show how spending changed in that same time frame. Bottom of this chart says U.S. CPI. It's the last row. And if we add up the increases in each row above, we can see that Alaska increased its per pupil spending between 2017 and 2022. By 12.8%, but the inflation rate in the same time period was 18.6%. Between 2022 and 2023, the inflation rate was 4.1%, but our increase was only 0.7%. And we can see that other states, on average, are keeping up with or exceeding the inflation rate, and Alaska is not.
Excuse me, Dr. DeFeo, we have one more question here from Rep. Elam.
Sorry, next slide.
Next slide. Please go ahead.
Sure. The next slide is sort of a visual, a different way to look at those same numbers. So to read this chart, the thick black line is the U.S. inflation rate. If you're matching inflation, you're staying on that thick black center line. If your spending increases more than inflation, you're going to be to the right of that line. Those are positive percentages. If your spending is not keeping up with inflation, you're going to be on the left. Those are the negative percentages. So if we look at what the colors mean, the blue is the U.S. average during these time periods. We can see that the other states, on average, invested in education at a higher rate than inflation. The orange bars show the data for the states that have reported for the last year. So we're able to look at what they did over time and in the last year. And then, of course, the gray bar is Alaska. Yeah, so this is just another way of looking at the table and how our spending keeps up with or doesn't keep up with inflation relative to other states. So we can move just to the conclusion. I know we're almost at time, and the very last slide, I'll just kind of sum up that after adjustments that account for our higher operating costs in the state, our per pupil education spending has fallen below the national average since at least 2017. And it's slipped behind further each year that Dr. Berman and I have been doing this work. And although the state has increased its spending, those increases have been less than inflation. Meanwhile, other states have, on average, increased their investments more than inflation. And with the phase out of COVID relief funds, we're going to see some pressure to make up the difference in the coming years. So I'd like to just make three points to conclude. We have higher costs in Alaska, and these affect Alaska schools, especially in remote rural communities, but those are not things that school districts are able to control. As the state is lagging behind inflation and its spending, school districts have a lot of fixed costs. They have few options to cut besides instruction. And while there might be the most flexibility in instructional expenditures, those are the ones that are most critical to achieving our education outcomes. I think it's important to note that Alaska hires teachers in a national market. Currently, we import the majority of our new teacher hires from out of state. So for us to be able to recruit and retain a workforce of really good teachers, we need to stay competitive with salaries. If we don't keep up with national trends in teacher salaries, the turnover and retention challenges that we have, they're already pretty significant. They'll be exacerbated, especially in our remote and high-need school districts. That have the greatest difficulty with teacher retention and recruitment. And finally, this relates to the question I was asked earlier. The final bullet is how much Alaska ought to be spending on education is a question of inputs and the outputs we want to see rather than the dollars that we need to put in. So we have put per pupil spending into a national context. I hope that's useful. But it still doesn't answer the question of how much Alaska should spend on education. We're not connecting these dollars spent to student achievement or to funding, and there's an opportunity for some additional evidence-based analyses that can really help Alaska to determine what inputs we need to the education system that would help the state to meet those education outcomes that we're interested in. And thank you. That's all. Contact information for myself and Dr. Berman is on the last slide, and I'm happy to stay with questions for as long as you wish for me to do so.
Yes, we thank you. We have a couple of questions, quick questions. I'm going to go to Rep. Underwood and then Rep. Elam.
Thank you so much, Chair Story. Through the chair, I just had a question. In your research and in your data and metrics, when we're talking about the money that is spent nationally on teachers versus nationally, is there any account in here about how much we are spending administrationally versus the national average? Because I know that plays a big chunk into their general fund and what they're spending. Is there anything that has to do with administration in any of your research?
Through the chair, the numbers that are reported do break down instructional salaries separate from administrative costs. But I do not have those. I would not be ready to speak to those today. I don't know if Dr. Berman has them at his fingertips. They're not part of our analysis, so I don't want to put Dr. Berman on the spot either.
Thank you. If you do have any, go ahead, Dr. Berman.
Through the chair, though, I don't have them at my fingertips. I provide them. They are reported by in the same survey that we got these numbers that we are presenting from. They are reported.
That would be helpful if you could put them through my office in a response. That would be great. And we have the final question from Rep. Elam.
Thank you. Again, thank you for your presentation. I wanted to go back a couple of slides to the changes in per pupil spending relative to inflation at the same time period. Is this budgeted data or is this actual spend data?
Through the chair, I can answer that question. This is actual expenditure.
Okay. And is there any way that we could get the raw data on that?
And I can say that's the reason that it comes in with a delay. If we wanted budgeted numbers, we'd have more current numbers, but this is the actual expenditures.
Okay. And is there any way that I can get the raw data on that?
I believe that question was for Dr. Berman.
If you can put the question in writing, so I make sure, yes, we can. It's just if we can make sure that if it's written down, so in writing, and help, so we make sure we provide the exact numbers that you want. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Dr. Berman. We'll have Rep. Elam send the question to my office. And again, for all members here today, if you have any questions about the presentation, we'd be happy to get them to Dr. Berman and Dr. DeFeo. And we thank you very much for your presentation today and for your work. I wanted to just add tomorrow at lunch, I'm inviting everyone to a lunch and learn about education, retention, and recruitment that from ARC, which is a new center who's working on this, so at noon. And then I also just wanted to say we are going to be moving into our House Finance Education Subcommittee, and our next meeting of the House Education will be next Monday, March 3rd, I believe, starting at 8 a.m., because we will be doing House Finance again on Friday. So thank you, everyone, for your attention today. This meeting is adjourned.